As we are growing up, bad things do happen, and many of these things teach us how to go about living our lives. There is great knowledge to be gained from bad things that happen. People who don't have major problems with bad memories are able to take the bad things that happen to them in stride. They are able to see the bad things for what they are, and often extract something positive from these experiences. However, if you are one of those many people on the planet who is traumatized or plagued by bad memories, you will potentially face a variety of problems as a result. Additionally, it will be perhaps difficult for you to extract the positive out of situations until you are able to release the memories that haunt you. Everyone would prefer that the very best days were the only ones that stayed in their memories in vivid detail. However, more often than not, people tend to forget about good days, but the really bad days tend to linger. If you think about a bad memory, you probably remember everything: the furniture, the colors on the walls, the expressions on people's faces, what you're wearing. We do remember good things as well. However, often with the good things, we're just remembering generalities. If you consider for a minute how negative experiences imprint themselves upon your memory when it comes to sight, sound, and taste, you can only imagine what negative memories can do to emotions and outlook. For example, if you were abused as a child in a room that was blue, you could potentially have a negative association with the color blue throughout your life. You might start to experience negative thoughts and feelings when you see the color blue, and not even have the slightest idea what is happening to you. When people have the ability to analyze bad memories and traumatic experiences from their past, many people uncover negative feelings that in fact have been holding them back for 10, 20, 30 years or more. It's ironic that sometimes these bad experiences were something that took place in only a moment's time, but they had a deep and meaningful impact on the person's lives, sometimes for 30 years or more. There undoubtedly are 90-year-old people walking around being influenced by traumatic events that occurred to them when they were 5 years old. The fact that someone can be making mistakes or feeling unhappy for something that occurred 85 years ago is truly remarkable when you think about it. The tragic nature of having bad memories potentially harm someone for 85 years is shocking, especially considering that negative memories can be addressed and dealt with. A byproduct of scientific advancement is that medical technologies are unfolding that can give us the potential to live longer lives. By adopting proper nutrition and diet, extending one's lifespan substantially is more possible, with modern breakthroughs in medical science coming at an ever-increasing rate. It is not absurd in the least to expect a rise in life expectancy. It is very conceivable that someone who is 20 years old now may live another 100 years. Imagine for a moment the amazing sadness of holding on to a bad memory for 100 or 110 years. This sounds like something out of a Greek tragedy, doesn't it? Let's take a look at what memories are. If you ask most people what memories mean to them, they can answer without hesitation. Most people know that memories are the mind's storehouse of information. Everyone takes our mind's ability to both make and recall memories for granted. We have experiences in our lives, and then before we know it, these experiences become memories. According to psychology, our memories are a three-step process. The first step is encoding. Our minds receive and process the information. The second step is storage. In the storage step, we create a permanent record of the encoded information. The third stage of the memory process is recall. This step takes place when we think of the stored information in response to some stimulus in our lives. We remember it. There are also two forms of memory, short-term memory and long-term memory. Our short-term memory holds information for immediate retrieval. This would be the experience of cramming for a test, for example. Short-term memory holds a limited amount of information. Scientists tell us that our short-term memory operates in the frontal and parietal lobes of our brain. The second type of memory, long-term memory, can store unlimited amounts of information for an extremely long time. The vast network that runs throughout our brains spreads long-term memories. These neural connections form permanent and stable memories for us. The important part of our brain responsible for long-term memory is called the hippocampus. The hippocampus translates our short-term memories into long-term memories. When we think about the complicated neurological set of processes that go on in our brain when we witness events, it's very easy to understand why bad memories can have such a hold on us as human beings. The thoughts, feelings, and memories resulting from a bad experience are not merely just free-floating ideas. They are, in effect, tangible, biological, physical processes. Bad memories unleash a process in your body that releases chemicals and sets off a series of reactions in your brain. So it's not just your imagination that your memories are haunting you. They actually are truly haunting you by hanging around in your neural network and impacting the way that you think, feel, and behave. Let's look at bad memories. In The Emotional Revolution by Norman E. Rosenthal, he writes, "Memory, however, is a two-edged sword. Just as it can enrich our present and imbue it with significance, so it can haunt us, filling every waking hour with dread and pain." This quote from Rosenthal doesn't just give us a bit of information about post-traumatic stress disorder, it also highlights the power of memory. As Rosenthal states, quote, "Memory, however, is a two-edged sword." So, based on that, we know that it's important for us to acknowledge the power of memory over our lives. Our memories are so much of what we are. What are we without them? We're essentially blank slates. Our long-term memories play a huge role in what kind of person we are. By erasing those long-term bad memories, it is possible to literally become a different person. You're already becoming a different person daily due to your new experiences and thoughts. You are forming lasting long-term memories. By erasing your bad memories, you are actively taking a role in this ongoing process of creation. If you have traumatic memories that have a lasting influence on your life and well-being, it is in fact your long-term memory that's responsible. When you look at the structure of the brain and how scientists believe that it functions, it is clear why memories have such an ability to feel as though they are taking over our entire lives. The structure of the brain is such that memories are literally interwoven into its very core. Your brain's function is obviously more than a central processing unit that controls the other organs in your body. The brain is quite literally a library of you. The part of your brain that holds your memories is, in a very real sense, your own personal history. It is this personal history encoded in your brain that influences so very much of what you do and how you perceive the world. If you're one of those people who feels that bad memories hold you back in your life, you probably want to progress forward and let go of those memories. In this case, it is a great idea to seek some therapies and treatments that will assist you in letting go of your thoughts attached to bad experiences. A variety of techniques and approaches have been developed to help people around the world deal with their negative memories. The fact that science has progressed to the point that there may soon be drugs available to deal with bad memories shows how much progress has occurred. These advancements illuminate what great possibilities will exist in the future for those who need help with painful memories. Methods that are suggested to erase bad memories include treatments that are both medically recognized as well as alternative therapies for getting rid of memories. Now, of course, I'm in favor of alternative therapies that don't involve drugs, but I do want you to know the body of information that's out there. Alternative therapies include hypnosis and EFT, the Emotional Freedom Technique. Many people also seek professional help when they want to forget traumatic events from their past. There are psychologists and psychiatrists who can help with both therapy and hypnosis. For many people trying to release themselves from negative events, these types of professional treatments have helped them deal with bad memories and form coping techniques. Part of the reason that bad memories are so important to recover from is that these memories have the powerful potential to negatively influence our lives, as I've said, and sometimes even destroy our lives. Experts recognize that when memories and events from our past deeply trouble us, they have the potential to hurt our health and well-being in many vital ways. Also, if you are plagued by bad memories that you believe are influencing your life, consider for a moment how this could be affecting others. These negative memories radiate out and touch all sorts of people around you. Your relationships may suffer as a result of negative experience that you have had 10 years ago, 20 years ago, or even longer. If you are in a position of authority over others, these bad memories could very well be shaping how you treat your employees. Most significantly, if you are a parent, your bad memories may be influencing how you treat your children. So, we're almost halfway through the program, because I want you to write down 5 more points, 5 more things that you got from the program, 5 more points that came to you. Go ahead and write them down now as I'm silent. 5 things that either I said to you or that came to you while you listened. Good. Now, I want you to take point number one and elaborate on it as I am silent. Good. Now take point number two and fill it in. Elaborate on it. Point number two, elaborate on the point that you wrote down and make it real for you. Go ahead and involve emotion and a plan if you want to. Elaborate on point number two as I'm silent. Good. Now I want you to elaborate on point number three. Take point number three, what you got from the second half of this module, and elaborate on it as I'm silent. Good. Now take point number four and elaborate on that as I'm silent. All right, now take point number five and elaborate on point number five while I'm silent. Good. So now you have 5 points from halfway through the module, 5 points from the other half of the module, and you're only halfway through the program. You have 10 things with elaboration that you can use once you're done with this program. All right, let's get back to it. All right, you've got a lot of information in your mind now, a lot of information that's come to you, a lot of information you've heard from me. There's a lot going on in your mind. Why don't we take a moment now, make sure you're not driving during this. If you're driving, don't listen to this part. Do this part later. But if you're not driving, what I want you to do is close your eyes and let all those thoughts come to you, all those thoughts that are floating around in your head, let them come to you now. And I want you to start seeing them become organized. And I want you to start seeing them happening in your life. I want you to see them playing themselves out in your life somehow. All these ideas you have, I want you to find a place for them in your mind, whether in terms of a plan, or in terms of changing something about yourself immediately, or in terms of, it could even be a vacation you're thinking of taking. But those ideas that are coming to you now as a result of listening to this material, what I want you to do with them right now, I don't want you to write anything right now. I don't want you to overthink anything. I just want you to close your eyes, as long as you're not driving, I want you to close your eyes. And as I'm silent, just use your imagination and let your imagination run wild. See where these ideas will take you. Let these ideas float around in your mind as I'm silent and really let them play out. Just let them go wild in your mind. See where they take you. As I'm silent, do this now. Thank you. Did you enjoy that? Now, probably what happened is initially when you closed your eyes, you thought of a bunch of random thoughts and they didn't make any sense. Maybe some things were coming in that really didn't fit there. Sometimes when I close my eyes, I see all kinds of interesting images that don't have anything to do with what I'm talking about or listening to. But hopefully, after a little while, those images kind of settled down and meaningful images started to show up. Like, aha, that business idea I had, or that vacation I had, or that person I need to tell something to, or something started to develop, or maybe a series of things. When you let your imagination run wild, you often come up with ideas that you will not access if you're beating your head against the wall, if you're trying to figure something out. That's not as effective, usually, as just letting your mind run wild, because eventually your mind is going to settle down and is going to start giving you information that you can actually use. So I hope you use this exercise not only in this program, but outside of it as well.